Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
There.
Well, welcome aboard. I'm Julie McCoy. Mm-hmm. This is our yeoman purser, Burl Smith.
Gopher!
Rick, hi.
I don't believe it.
Did you know each other?
Oh, used to. College.
Oh.
Well, we're fraternity brothers. Imagine after all these years running into Strike Out Smith.
I was a pitcher on the baseball team.
Gopher got stood up more often than any guy on campus. His steady date used to be Sylvia Krasnick, our 70-year-old house mother.
Well, I don't think Julie's really interested in that stuff.
By now, you're probably dating a girl with her own teeth.
As a matter of fact, I am. Right, honey?
Oh, you two are together.
Uh-huh. I'm sure that Gopher will explain all about the two of us later, right here.
Well, I guess I'd better get settled. See you two later.
Okay.
Hello, and welcome to Who Will Save Generation X, a trivia game show that is dedicated to remembering, celebrating, and preserving all the wonderful qualities of Generation X through games, trivia, and friends. I am Zade, the host of the show, and I am very excited to be back with our third format of the show that we have added to our program. We hope you enjoy it. It's a shorter version of the podcast that we can release in between regular episodes of the show and the home games, where it's just the listeners versus the podcast to see how many points you can get. No prizes or ranks, just a quick mini game to satisfy that nostalgic itch for the pop culture of Generation X. We will also use this time to solve power struggles from previous episodes, as well as giving you a chance to help save Generation X from being forgotten in a special guest host segment of the show. To refresh your memory, here's the power struggle we're going to be solving at the end of the episode.
Is that all you can say?
Do you remember where these five Gen X clips came from? Stay tuned to hear the answers at the end of the show, but for now, let's get right into the game that we call Who Will Save Generation X? Challenging Stage. Here's how the game works. We will have three fast-paced rounds of games to play and score points. In round three, we have two special guest hosts take over the show and quiz me for five questions. If you can get more correct than I can, then you are invited to use our website answering machine to mock me endlessly. Or, better yet, use that answering machine to call in and take over as host for a moment and ask me five trivia questions that we can use on an upcoming episode. Just go to our website and click on that blue microphone icon and leave us some trivia questions. It's 100% free to use, and it can be accessed by any device that has an internet connection and a microphone. We would love to hear your voice on the show. So let's get going and save Generation X from being forgotten.
Round one.
Round today is a brand new game that we are debuting for this episode. As Gen Xers, we are known as the Forgotten Generation, the overlooked middle child between the Boomers and the Millennials. Other generations seem to get most of the attention, while we're just an afterthought. We think all generations are worthy of their own spotlight, and since we focus on pop culture on this podcast, we'd like to play a game that honors those that did not quite get the spotlight as much as others, but are still worthy. A prime example of this is on the TV show Gilligan's Island. Listen to this clip of the original opening theme song.
With Gilligan, the skipper too, the millionaire and his wife, the movie star, and the rest are here on Gilligan's Island.
They only named five of the seven castaways and only referred to poor Marianne and the professor as "and the rest." We all know they wouldn't have lasted a week on that island without the professor and Marianne, but they were not deemed worthy of being named on the theme song. It wasn't until Gilligan himself, Bob Denver, told the producers of the show that they needed to be included as his castmates in the opening, and they made the correct changes. Well, in the same spirit of inclusion that Gilligan gave to those two castaways, the game today is that I will give you the name of a lesser-known contributor to Gen X, and you need to tell me what they are from. So, for example, if I said Scrappy-Doo, you would say The Scooby-Doo Show. Scrappy-Doo may have been a bad example here because he's not really worthy of remembering, but you get the point. Ta-da-da-da-da! Humpy Power! All of these names will not be the headliners of the TV show, movie, or musical groups included in the round, but their projects would just not be the same without them. You'll score 2 points if you can get the correct answer from the name alone, but if you need a hint, then the correct answer will be worth only 1 point. Let's see how well you do in this new game that we call
And the Rest.
I'll ask the question and give you the 1 point hint and then circle back around with the answers. Here we go. The first name for And the Rest is a character named Tom Willis. Please tell me the name of the TV show that had a character by the name of Tom Willis.
What you talking about, Willis?
No, not that Willis, judges. But listeners, your 1 point hint here is that there was a different short black character who often made Tom Willis the butt of his jokes. He often ridiculed Tom for being overweight, a bad dancer, and for being a white man in a mixed racial marriage to a black woman. In fact, Tom and his wife Helen were the first ever mixed-race married couple on TV. What is the name of this groundbreaking TV show? Question 2. The next name is a unique one, but let's see if you can place it. What movie has the character named Otho in it? Otho is the name. If you know the name of that movie right now, you'll score 2 points. But if you need the 1 point hint, here's a clip from the movie. The character Otho is the dominant speaker in this clip.
Otho, I didn't realize you were into the supernatural.
Well, of course, you remember. After my stint with the Living Theater, I was one of New York City's leading paranormal researchers. The bottom dropped out in 72.
Paranormal, is that what they're calling your kind these days?
Don't mind her. She's still upset because somebody dropped a house on her sister.
The next one is a bit of a curveball. Which TV show had the characters Sal Bosicchio and Nat Bosicchio, who were played by the same actor? If you can name this very popular TV show right now, then it will be worth 2 points. But if you need the hint, here it is for 1 point. Listen closely and you can hear him speaking here about his customers.
That is wonderful.
You know who used to like her burgers like that? Marilyn Monroe.
You're kidding.
Yeah, she's the one that thought to add the Swiss.
Go on, tell her, Ned.
Well, she used to come in here all the time. And I can always tell when she was starting a picture because she would always switch from fries to cottage cheese.
Okay, who else used to come in here?
Montgomery Clift and Natalie Wood, Sal Mineo.
Steve McQueen.
Yeah, they're all gone now.
But they all used to eat right here, huh?
Yeah. Now we get the occasional celebrity stopping by, but business isn't what it used to be.
When it comes to supporting characters, this one makes an argument as an all-timer. What movie has a supporting character named Oda Mae Brown? She had a very memorable scene where she supported the main character in a way never before seen in movies at that time. If you know the name of the movie right now, it's worth 2 points. But for 1 point, here is your hint. For her portrayal of Oda Mae Brown, she won an Academy Award. Was that Academy Award performance in the movie A, Dances with Wolves, B, The Color Purple, C, Ghost, D, Fried Green Tomatoes, or is it E, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes? The last character in this inaugural round of And the Rest is Johnny Gasparini. If you can tell me the name of the movie that has the character named Johnny Gasparini in it right now, it'll be worth 2 points to you. But for 1 point, you know what? No, I'm not going to even give you a clue to this one. Instead, I'm going to make you a $2 bet that you can't name the 1985 classic comedy that Johnny Gasparini was in. If you get it right, then I'll owe you $2. But if you don't, then you have to sign up to be a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/whowillsavegenx at any tier that you choose. Deal? To collect your $2 if you win this bet, just head over to
www.whowillsavegenx.com
and fill out your claim form. Once again, that's simply go to www.whowillsavegenx.com. and I'll be happy to pay up. We'll use the honor system here. Have you locked in your guesses? Okay, here are the correct answers. I asked you what TV show has a supporting character named Tom Willis, and the answer is The Jeffersons. The role was played by the late, great Franklin Cover. His on-screen wife, played by Roxy Roker, was also married to a white man in real life, a TV executive named Cy Kravitz, and they are the parents of none other than musician Lenny Kravitz. It seems silly to Gen X kids that a mixed-race couple on TV would be a big deal, but thankfully we had shows like The Jeffersons to normalize these kinds of former taboos. I think it's safe to say that the majority of us would say that the world is a better place for having Lenny Kravitz in it. Question 2 was, what was the movie that has the character Otho in it? It's an unusual name for an unusual movie.
I myself am strange and unusual.
The character was played by Glenn Shaddix, and the movie was called Beetlejuice.
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 It's showtime.
Glenn Shaddix became good friends with the director of the movie, Tim Burton, while filming Beetlejuice. It was while swimming in Burton's pool one day that he was offered the role to play the mayor in A Nightmare Before Christmas.
Our first award goes to the vampires for most blood drained in a single evening.
Fun fact. Question 3 asked you to name the TV show that you would find both Sal Bosicchio and Nat Bosicchio, who were played by the same actor. The actor was Joe E. Tada, and he pulled double duty on the TV show Beverly Hills 90210. He played Nat, the kindly restaurateur, and he had also played his father, Sal, in flashback scenes. See, a little tricky. But I feel like this one was kind of easy in a way. When it comes to Gen X, there's only one Nat, and he runs the Peach Pit. I feel like if emojis were a thing back in the 90s, they would have named the restaurant something other than the Peach Pit. But I'm pretty sure in the 2000s reboot, they called the local hangout the Swollen Eggplant.
Dylan! Dylan, where are you going?
Anywhere but here.
Question 4 asked you what movie you could find the character Oda Mae Brown. The correct answer was option C, Ghost. Whoopi Goldberg won the role over the others considered for the part in Oprah Winfrey and Tina Turner after Patrick Swayze campaigned for her to get the part. Oda Mae Brown was a spirit medium who would allow ghost Patrick Swayze's character to inhabit her body so he could be reunited with his lost love in Demi Moore after his murder. Ghost contains the unspoken shared experience that all of us had while we watched it. When ghost Patrick took control over Whoopi's body, and we all thought we were about to watch Whoopi Goldberg and Demi Moore make out. You know you were thinking it too. And finally, we made an ironclad bet for $2 that you could not name the movie which features the supporting character of Johnny Gasparini in it. Well, the $2 part should have really given it away. His friend of the movie, Better Off Dead.
Johnny.
4 weeks. 20 papers, that's $2 plus tip.
So that means if you didn't get this one right, after the episode, you are obligated to go to patreon.com/whowillsavegenx and sign up to become a supporter of the show. We have special offers for those who'd like to sign up and support the show, but there's also a free option to join as well if you'd like. For those of you who got this one right, well, I now owe you $2. So feel free to make your request at www.yourethebest.com. And the judges will be happy to pay up. However, we do not want you to show up at our Who Will Save Generation X studio knocking on our door, asking for money. If you do that, you won't even get a dime.
Didn't ask for a dime. $2. Cash.
Round 2 of this episode is our Spotlight Trivia Round. We will dive into one Gen X topic to quiz you on. But before we get started, I want to give a shout out to a listener named Martin Gibbs from Lewiston, Idaho, who wrote to us and asked, how do we decide what Gen X topic to use on our Spotlight Trivia Round? Well, Martin, we have a database of over 350 Gen X pop culture topics to talk about. We basically spin the wheel and write our trivia based on the results. It's pretty random, but it ensures that we're not only talking about what Gen X experiences that the judges and I have had, but what also might appeal to others with different tastes as well. Otherwise, every episode would be nothing but trivia on Star Wars, Happy Days, The Cure, and all 3 Indiana Jones movies in the entire franchise. That being said, we would love to hear from any of you listening if there is some Gen X pop culture topic that you'd like us to cover. This is your generation podcast, so please reach out to us and let us know what we can talk about that would please you. So please reach out to us and let us know what kind of trivia you'd like to hear about. You can write me or any of the judges at Judges, that bit is over now, okay? We had a nice laugh, but we need to give out the email address. Listeners, if there's something you'd like us to quiz you on, reach out to us at All right, get it all out of your system, judges. Just do it. You done? Okay, can I continue? Thank you. Listeners, please reach out to us at whowillsavegenx@gmail.com, just like our listener Martin did, and let us know what you'd like for the next Spotlight topic. We also have our voicemail answering system on our website. If you'd like to have your voice making the request on an upcoming episode, we'd love to hear from you.
You guys are indeed the best around. Nothing's ever going to get you down.
Okay, let's spin the wheel of Gen X and see what the Spotlight topic for this episode is. The wheel has spoken. Today we're talking about everybody's favorite cruise ship from the 70s and 80s. That's right. Come aboard. We're expecting you. It's the Love Boat. Premiering on September 24th, 1977, The Love Boat was an hour-long episodic comedy drama that aired on Saturday nights on ABC. Along with the similarly themed show Fantasy Island, it soon became a national sensation and an important part of TV history. Each episode revolved around the adventures of the staff and celebrity guest stars during a journey to exotic destinations aboard a cruise ship. But let's face it, most of the time they just went to Puerto Vallarta. There was always three different plot lines, one featuring comedy, one featuring drama, and one featuring romance. It was a repetitive structure that relied on broad jokes and heavy doses of melodrama, but out of those elements, Love Boat created a sense of romance and escape that absolutely entranced its viewers, both young and old. The show operated on the principle that people don't watch television to engage with life, they watch it to escape from life. So, let's take a small escape together and go back and visit Doc, Captain Stubing, Julie Gopher, and pretend that Isaac just gave us both barrels of his finger guns at the bar and see how much you remember about this landmark TV show. Just as a reminder, each complete correct answer is worth 2 points if you know the answer outright, but if you need a hint or multiple choice, then it's worth only 1 point. I'll ask the questions and then circle back with the answers at the end of the round. Good luck! Let's start with something easy.
Question number one.
What was the name of the cruise ship on the show? Much of the filming was on an actual cruise ship, but on the show, the ship was known by what name? If you know the answer right now, it's worth 2 points. But for 1 point, here's your hint. Was the ship called A, the Love Boat? B, Pacific Princess? C, Crown Princess? D, Royal Princess? Or was it E, the cruise ship formerly known as Prince S? Yeah.
Question number two.
The Love Boat was famous for having lots of celebrity guest stars on the show, but its main cast became stars of their own. Names like Captain Stubing, Isaac Washington, and Gopher were becoming household names, but perhaps the most talented and beloved character on the show was the ship's cruise director, Julie McCoy. After 7 seasons of becoming a mega hit show, the character of Julie was replaced with a new character taking on the role as cruise director. This change marked the beginning of the end of the show as viewers didn't take to the new character and missed our beloved Julie McCoy. Your question is, what was the name of the character that took over for Julie McCoy as cruise director on The Love Boat? If you know the answer to Julie's successor and this first of several show killers, right now you'll score 2 points. But for 1 point, here are your multiple choice options. Was Julie replaced by A, Ashley Covington Evans? B, Julia McCoy? C, Jill McCoy? D, Judy McCoy? Or was it E, Cousin Oliver McCoy?
You little fink.
Question number three.
As we said in the opening round, there are always three plot lines to follow every episode, and some were pretty wacky. Question three is, which of the following was not an actual plot line on an episode of The Love Boat? One of the following did not occur. Was it A,
gopher and a passenger played by one of the Smothers brothers believed a librarian played by Helen Reddy was actually a space alien. B. A famous matador played by Cesar Romero wants his grandson, played by Lorenzo Lamas, to follow in his footsteps, but the grandson would rather become a novelist than become a bullfighter. C. A woman played by Florence Henderson helps bring romance to her son's identical twin doppelganger and the daughter of her husband's overbearing boss, played by Denise Nickerson, aka Violet Beauregard from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Robert Reed also stars in this episode. Is it D? Reggie Jackson, playing as himself, can't convince anyone on board that he is actually Reggie Jackson. Or is it E? A Mexican woman with singing aspirations stows away on the cruise ship. 2 points right now if you can name that errant plot line. But your 1 point clue for the question of which is not an actual plot line of an episode of The Love Boat is, it's the one that is not an actual plot line for an episode of The Love Boat. Best clue ever.
Question number 4.
Speaking of a Mexican woman with singing aspirations stowing away on The Love Boat, how many times was Charo on the show as a guest star? This one is kind of nuanced, but if you can remember this bit of trivia right now, it'll score you 2 points. Here is the 1 point multiple choice option I'm sure most of you will take. Was she on A, 10 times? B, 13 times? C, 17 times? Or is it D, 69 times?
And finally, question number 5.
The last question of the round is, what change to the show was credited as the final straw that caused the show to jump the shark at the end of its nearly 10-season run? If you know which change caused the show to be canceled right now, it'll be worth 2 points. It's another one of those kind of nuanced ones, so it's no shame if you can't get this one off the top of your head. But for 1 point, maybe these multiple choice 1 point options will help you. Did the show get canceled for A, the additions of mermaids to the Love Boat cast? B, the firing of head writer Ted Johansenberg, who wanted the season 10 series finale to include the Love Boat being shipwrecked and then have a Gilligan's Island-style spin-off series to replace it? C, a power struggle between show creators of the same time slot, Love Boat creator Aaron Spelling and Different Strokes creator Came to Odds, fueled by the romance between Todd Bridges, who played Willis on Different Strokes, and Tori Spelling, who is Aaron Spelling's daughter? D, repeated outbreaks of food poisoning when the producers realized that it could save a few bucks and switch from the industry standard craft services for cast meals to only using the ship's onboard buffets? Or is it E, an overabundance of coochie coochies?
Coochie coochie.
How did you come up with coochie coochie, girl? Who came up with that?
Now that you've had a little time to think of the questions, here are the answers. Question 1 was, what was the name of the cruise ship on the show? If you have ever watched the show, then you know that option B, Pacific Princess, is the correct answer. Filming the show was often done on ships at sea on the cruise line, and actual passengers were used as extras in many scenes. It became a draw for the Princess Cruise Lines to advertise that their passengers might end up on TV if they booked passage. The show is credited with propelling the cruise industry itself, with statistics showing that from the time the show first aired on 1977 until the show ended in 1987, ticket sales for cruises increased 1,000%, a large part in thanks to the Pacific Princess and a catchy theme song.
Come aboard, we're expecting you, and love.
Question 2 was, what was the name of the character that took over for Julie McCoy as cruise director on The Love Boat? The correct answer is option D, Judy McCoy. Actor Lauren Tweez ran into some problems with substance abuse with a certain drug that plagued so many in the 70s and the 80s. Back then, drug problems seemed much more of a moral failing than a health crisis for individuals.
And if you get hooked, baby, it's nobody else's fault, so don't do it.
Judges, I'm trying to make a point here. Sadly, Tweez did not have the support she needed to get help and was let go from the show. The happy ending here is that she was able to get the help that she needed and appeared on many of the reunion episodes. So way to go, Lauren. However, back then, in classic TV replacement style, they found a younger, blonder character to swap out Julie in the way of Judy McCoy, Julie's sister. Option A, Ashley Covington Evans, or Ace, as he was known, was played by show killer Ted McGinley, who was, once again, a younger, blonder replacement for Gopher when he left the show to pursue a career in politics. Audiences were cold to these changes, and once these two beloved characters left the show, the love boat started to sink. However, even having Pick and Save Julie McCoy and show killer Ted McGinley on board was not enough to ultimately end the show. No, for that, we're going to have to wait until the reveal of question number 5. See, guys, that's what they call a tease.
Face it, you're a tease.
I'm not a tease.
Sure you are.
In question 3, I asked you, which was not an actual plot line on the episode of The Love Boat? The correct answer was option C. A woman played by Florence Henderson helps bring romance to her son's identical twin doppelganger and the daughter of her husband's overbearing boss. The Love Boat was famous for having aging stars of the past on as guest stars. It worked to get viewers to tune in to see former A-listers on screen again, but behind the scenes, there was a different reason to have them on the show. Health insurance. Having these actors who have not been hired in a long time was a way for them to keep their active status in acting unions and therefore be eligible for health insurance. The Love Boat did a lot of good in this regard. If you were clever enough to understand that the clue was directing you to a plotline of this famous Brady Bunch episode and not a Love Boat episode, then congrats for getting it correct. Florence Henderson and Robert Reed were both on an episode of The Love Boat together. They were in different plot lines, but they did share a moment on screen where they took a knowing look at one another for a moment and then walked away, shaking their heads as if denying that they really knew one another. A classic Love Boat moment. The episode of The Brady Bunch was when Peter had an identical twin and two dates at the same time, one of which was Mike Brady's boss's daughter, so he had to convince his twin to go on a date with one of them. This was way back in the day when it was acceptable to have a TV show plots that included bosses forcing their employees' children to date one another.
Your mother and I don't like what just happened.
Question 4 was, how many times was Charo on the show as a guest star? There were 250 episodes of The Love Boat, and it only felt like Charo was on all of them. But in fact, she was only on 10 episodes, so option A is the correct answer. What's funny is that she played two different characters on the show. April Lopez, who was a Mexican woman with singing aspirations, and she also played Lupe Zapata de Vega Valdez, who was a Mexican woman with singing aspirations. Charo was a big draw with her Las Vegas act and was on the Ed Sullivan Show well before The Love Boat was a thing. But it was The Love Boat that brought her into our homes and made her world famous. As a singer and guitarist, it is said that she was making as much as the Rat Packers were at the time back in Vegas. Although she never broke through on the mainstream charts, she was able to add to the world's vocabulary the words coochie coochie, and even wrote a song with the same name, which is really just a disco song about a list of animals that all just want the same thing in life, and that is to quote, coochie coochie. It is as spectacular as it sounds. And finally, question 5 asks you, which change to the show was credited as ending The Love Boat? Believe it or not, but option A, the additions of mermaids to the Love Boat cast, is the correct answer.
We're about to be treated to a sight few men are lucky enough to witness in a lifetime.
Oh yeah?
The Love Boat mermaids.
I hope there's cute guys on these cruises.
I hope they're rich guys.
The show was able to endure all kinds of cast changes, time slot issues, and interpersonal drama. But when they added an 8-pack troupe of scantily clad singer dancers, christened as the Love Boat mermaids, the audience had had enough and stopped watching. By season 9, only Captain Steubing, Dr. Bricker, and bartender Isaac Washington remained of the original cast. Declining ratings confirmed that The Love Boat offered little, exciting, and new, so producers swung for the fences and decided to swap sweet romance for steamy sensuality. Courtesy of a visit by Isaac's former girlfriend, choreographer Lonette Becker, played by Felicia Rashad, aka Claire Huxtable, the mermaids boarded the Pacific Princess, wandering the deck in leotards and headbands until it became time to take the stage. The most famous of Love Boat mermaids, although she was not yet famous, was then 21-year-old Terry Hatcher, who was a former ballerina and NFL cheerleader. Sadly, the hypersexual glow-up did little to save the show. The mermaids occasionally enjoyed minor storylines and romantic near-misses, but the gals were mostly there to entertain passengers and the series' remaining viewers with dramatically lit musical numbers. Sometimes those numbers featured current pop hits such as the Pointer Sisters' I'm So Excited and the Weather Girls' It's Raining Men, complete with dramatic close-ups and generously oiled, Speedo-clad young fellows as stage props. The Love Boat mermaids, like the rest of the crew, went down with the ship at the end of the season when, and I think we can all agree on this, that it was indeed the reason why, when the ladies also performed original material that featured the following lyrics that spelt certain doom for the show.
Dance! I gotta shake my shoulders. Dance! I gotta move my buns. Hot! Ooh, so hot! Ooh, so sopping wet! I'll be sweat!
On to round three and have one of our listeners guest host the show and ask us some trivia questions. But before we do that, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor.
Beverly Hills 90210 will be right back on Fox.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you would like to try your hand in guest hosting this next segment and share your trivia knowledge of the fun things of Generation X, send the judges an email at whowillsavegenx@gmail.com and let's talk about it. Or for faster results, just go over to our website at whowillsavegenx.com and leave us a message on our answering machine. Just tap on that blue microphone icon on the lower right part of your screen and leave us a message. It's free to use, and your voice and trivia questions might be used on an upcoming episode. If you want your trivia questions on an upcoming Challenging Stage episode, then please be sure to leave us five questions so we can make a whole episode. We look forward to hearing your voice on the show. Thanks!
So who's gonna save our generation? Are you gonna save our generation? Who will save Generation X?
Round three.
I'm the guy who normally asks the questions, but in this segment, we're going to turn things around and have one of our listeners ask the questions to see if I can do my part to save Generation X. I'm honored to feature my podcast betters as special guest hosts this episode. Please welcome the two hosts of a wonderful podcast called Retro Rewind Podcast. I feel lucky to have them on our show here today, but I feel even more lucky to be able to call them friends. Please welcome the guest hosts for this episode, Francisco and PaulJPowers.com.
PaulJPowers.com.
Welcome back to the show, fellas.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Awesome to be back, Zabe. Thank you for that wonderful intro. That's very kind of you.
And sound clip.
Yes, that sound clip was amazing.
Listeners, we had these two guests on a regular format for the show in episode number 39. So listeners, if you'd like to hear who won that episode between these two guys, you can go back and please check out episode 39. I'm very much looking forward to doing a rematch with these guys. So maybe we can hook that up soon. But before we get started, can you guys give us a quick recap on what your show is about and who you guys are?
Yeah, of course. We're from the Retro Rewind Podcast. We review movies and games that are 15 or more years old. And yeah, we let you know whether we think they're worth your time to watch today or whether they should just stay in the past. And me and Paul have been doing this for about 12 years now, I think. Is that right,
Somewhere
Paul?
Over 10.
Yeah. More than 10, less than 50. Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys have a great rating system for these movies and games that you review. Mm-hmm. And it's just a lot of fun. Listeners can kind of play along in a sense that they can give their own ratings for whether they think stuff should be left in the past or if things are still valuable today. Here in our podcast, we believe everything has value that's 15 years ago or more, actually 20 plus for our show. But
you're right. Fertilizer does have a value.
Oh my gosh. I do want to say though, it's been awesome having you and your wife, Suzanne, on for Never Ending Story a while ago and upcoming, I don't know when this will be released, but our Last Starfighter episode. It's awesome having you both on again.
It was wonderful to be on the show. Last Starfighter was awesome. I had a blast reviewing that with you guys. Let's get to the show.
Get on with it.
Yes, get on with it.
Yeah! Okay, guys, I'm in your hands. You guys are the guest hosts. Take it away.
Okay.
All right. Go for it, Paul.
All right. Because you were on our Last Starfighter episode, all five questions of this challenging stage are about Last Starfighter. And these questions will start off a little bit easy for you listeners, and it will get a little tough as we go. So,
and what's this challenging stage called, Paul?
It's called a Lance Hello, because Lance is...
I'm sure they get it if they've seen Last Starfighter. Lance Guest is the star of Last Starfighter.
Well, it might have been a while for some of these people.
All right, that's a good
point. Lance Guest is the main actor who plays Alex in The Last Starfighter. So let's start with question number one. Are you ready, Zabe?
I'm ready.
All right. Life is like a hurricane. What is the name of Alex's brother? A, Huey. B, Dewey. C, Lewis. D, Doofus. Or E, Webby.
Webby? His little brother was a pervert named Lewis.
Very good.
You bet, slimes. I'm famous.
This is the fun fact for the little brother Lewis. This was Chris Herbert's first film. He played Lewis. He slowly backed away from acting during his high school years, which is why we haven't seen much of him since. But to this day, he does not regret backing out of acting. Currently, he is teaching at a high school in California and is also involved in his church activities, coordinating a drama ministry, and directing the youth group. He plans on getting his master's degree in Christian education. This is all according to IMDb. I don't know. I'm not friends with him.
I wonder if he ever found Miss June or whatever, this Playboy magazine that he was missing.
I hope so.
Maybe he gave that information out when he was given his youth group service.
Yeah.
Question two is, not my Gunstar hero. Which actors were said to be in the running for the Last Starfighter himself, Alex Rogan? A, Jay Underwood from Uncle Buck and The Boy Who Could Fly. B, Josh Brolin from The Goonies and Avengers Infinity War. C, Lance Guest was only ever said to be considered. D, Keith Coogan from Adventures in Babysitting. E, answer A, Jay Underwood. And D, Keith Coogan.
That is a very complicated question.
Yes.
And I'm not going to have you repeat it because I think I'll just get lost again. I'm just going to go with the random guess because I don't know the answer to this. So I'm going to just say Josh Brolin. B.
I don't have a sound effect.
He'll insert that later.
The correct answer is Lance Guest was only ever said to be considered. Fun fact, though, Jay Underwood later went on to work with director Nick Castle in The Boy Who Could Fly. And then even later, he went on to meet PaulJPowers.com at a Star Trek convention.
Fascinating.
You know, I'm really dumb for just taking a blind guess like that. Why? I should have stopped and thought about it a little more. The show is called The Last Starfighter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that means there's only one. So I think there was a hint in that.
Oh, there's only one person
only
who
one.
Was.
Yeah, I should have just gone with that.
Though,
that
if there, I mean, more hands in my face if this was called The Last Highlander, then you should be.
There would be only one. That's
exactly.
Correct. All right.
One and two so far.
Question three, illegal aliens. Which of these is not an alien race mentioned in the movie The Last Starfighter? A, Rylans. B, Zohans. C, Kodans. D, Zandozans. Or E, the Bogati. You want me to repeat that?
No, I don't think you're pronouncing Bogati correct, though.
B-O-G-A-T-I.
Bogati.
Bogati is, maybe I'm mispronouncing. I don't know. It's up to you. It's okay.
Well, the correct answer is, it's the Zohans.
Correct.
Good job.
Nobody messes with the Zohans.
Exactly.
Oh my God. FYI. So
no, the Bugatti is the creature that he steps on the tentacle, and that other guy says the Bugatti aren't to be trifled with or messed with.
You don't trifle with the Bugatti. They love to fight. That's why they're perfect for this war.
I see. I thought it was a name of sports car, but my bad.
That's what it sounds like.
It could be. They named it after the squid people. Fun fact, Zohan might sound familiar because it's actually an Adam Sandler film titled Don't Mess with the Zohans. The character Zohan was loosely based on Nezi Arbib, an actual hairstylist and former Israeli soldier who lived in Solana Beach, California. Arbib taught Adam Sandler and the film crew different hairstyling techniques, while Sandler learned about Arbib's mannerisms.
All righty. Question 4. Film rack of knickknacks. Which of these movies is not in Nick Castle's rack of directed movies? A. The Last Starfighter. B. Tag, The Assassination Game. C. Skate Town, USA. D. The Boy Who Could Fly. E. Major Payne.
Helen is my business, ladies, and business is good.
So I've got to come up with the movie that Nick
is Castle. Not one of Nick Castle's movies.
Believe it or not, I'm not up to date with Nick Castle's catalog of films.
Where have you been?
I know. I kind of stay in my lane, and Nick Castle's way out of it. Give those to me one last time.
The Last Starfighter. Please don't guess that one. Tag, The Assassination Game. Skate Town, USA. The Boy Who Could Fly. Major Payne.
I mean, they all could be for all I know. I'll go Skate Town, USA, because that's the funnest title.
Good job. Nick Castle was only the writer on Skate Town, USA. So
well,
he was
everyone knows that,
with
but he wasn't a director.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah.
Okay, just making sure we know.
Fun fact, The Last Starfighter was only Nick Castle's second movie out of film school. He had never worked with computer special effects before that film.
Well, no one did on films before that. Right.
Him and everybody else never worked on it before.
All right. Question 5, staying within genre. Which actor, who would later become more well-known in the sci-fi genre as a Star Trek actor, is listed in the end credits but is not featured in the film due to his scenes being cut? Is it A, Robert Duncan McNeil, who played Tom Paris in Voyager? B, Rene Aubergenois. Sorry, Rene, may you rest in peace. He played Odo in Deep Space Nine. Sorry for butchering your name. C, Will Wheaton, who played Wesley Crusher on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Shut up, Wesley.
D, John Cho, who played Lieutenant Sulu in the Kelvin Universe movies. Or E, Tim Russ, who played Tuvok in Voyager.
I actually do know this one, and it was the great and powerful Will Wheaton.
Yes.
Well done.
Hey, I heard that.
Shut up, Wesley.
The fun fact. Will Wheaton stated that his scenes were cut from the movie before they were even filmed. However, he was already in the background on some of the scenes, so he still gets credited and receives a small annual residual payment for that role.
Well earned, I might add. Even though couldn't spot him in the movie, I've seen it recently and I didn't see him.
Yeah, I haven't. I still have. Oh,
the
episode
we did. I'm like, Will Wheaton's in the credits. Why is Will Wheaton in this? I don't know.
Yeah, awesome. Good great job, question. Zabe. I think that gives you a score of 4-1?
Yeah, 4 correct, 1 missed.
Well
done. I'm proud of myself. And the one I missed, it was totally my fault. I had a stab at that if I would have thought it through, but
no
I'll take
worries.
4 out of 5.
Awesome.
You might be able to redeem yourself later.
So yeah, thank you for having us back for this challenging stage, Zabe.
Thank you guys so much for being the guest hosts. Listeners, please check out the show notes in this episode for a link to go to check out Retro Rewind Podcast. Once again, this was Francisco and PaulJPowers.com.
PaulJPowers.com.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Diarrhea.
The last segment of the challenging stage is to give answers to the power struggle of past shows. In episode 34, Mary Beth versus Ricky, Thundercats, no! We had a power struggle question, and it sounded like this.
Yes.
And all you can say?
No.
So in love, so in
Let's reveal the answers now. Clip one is from the TV game show we all watched while we were home sick from school. It's the Price is Right Cliffhangers game. Clip two was from the 1982 movie Tron. Clip three was from the game that the challenging stage is named after. It's the arcade game Galaga. Clip four was Janet Jackson with her song When I Think of You. And finally, clip five was from the TV show Pee-wee's Playhouse and the unmistakable giggle of Paul Rubens, R.I.P. Paul Rubens. We will reveal more Power Struggle answers on future episodes of The Challenging Stage. Well, that's it for this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We welcome you to contact us and let us know what you think of this episode. Your feedback is always appreciated. And thanks again for checking out the show. Thanks again to our guest hosts of Round 3, the hosts of Retro Rewind Podcast. Please give them a listen. Francisco and PaulJPowers.com. Thank you very much. You can check out a link to their podcast in the show notes for this episode. As always, we welcome you to share this podcast with that special Gen Xer in your life and subscribe to the show for future episodes where we will once again ask the question, who will save Generation X? Later.
Gucci.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.